What a glorious pleasure it is to worship God this morning, isn't it? To be together as His children, as members of His body, to offer Him praise and thanksgiving, to remember His Son who died for us and loves us. Thank you for being here. We have a good number in attendance. Thankful especially for our visitors this morning. I appreciate the prayer that Kevin prayed for a number of reasons, but I appreciate especially him mentioning how the members of the body of Christ are special to God and that we're striving to be one in Christ. Our goal this year at Eastside is to have unity, unity that encourages us to work and working toward that unity. In Romans chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul writes, "As we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Interesting concept, isn't it? That we, as part of the body of Christ, are like members in a body. We are one body in Christ, and so that makes us members of one another. I mean, this finger in my body is sort of related to that finger, right? We're all part of the same body. We're all trying, all the members of my body are trying to accomplish the same thing and are working together and are affecting one another. Each member of the body of Christ finds its meaning, his or her meaning and purpose in the function that it has in the body. Apart from the body, no member has utility. Separate from the body, no member has meaning or purpose. If I cut off my finger, if I cut off my toe, if I pluck out my eye, if I cut off my ear, you come across my ear laying in the ditch, that ear has no function. It doesn't do anything. My finger separated from my body, there's no meaning to that finger, has no usefulness, no purpose. It is only in its connection with the body that it has utility, that it has function, that it has meaning. And so it is in the body of Christ, that no one who is a member of the body of Christ has real meaning in their life spiritually or real meaning in their life, period, apart from the body of Christ. Listen to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 12, in the extended reading starting in verse 12. "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into that one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set them members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased." And I'm going to stop here and note with you that what Paul is really saying is that every part of the body, though it may be different and have a different function, is doing exactly what I said a moment ago. It's finding its purpose in that function that it has in the body. And a member may say, "Well, I'm not a part of the body. I'm not useful. I'm not really important." But in fact, you are a part of the body, and your being in the body influences every other part of the body. And so picking up the reading, he says, "If they were all one member, where would the body be? Indeed, there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be the weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part that lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members. That brings me to the concept of Ubuntu. And I was hoping, the boys are out of town this morning, they would be the only ones probably who'd be familiar with this concept, because it comes from southern Africa. It's a word that doesn't translate very well into Western languages. It's a Zulu word that found its way into written form first in 1846 in a book. It was used sparingly by English-speaking people until the 1950s, when an author in South Africa began to use it in some of his writings. A little bit later in the 1960s, the word took a leap into usage when the South African Institute for Race Relations began to use it. A little later than that, it became a political ideology in Zimbabwe when they gained their independence. Ubuntu was a rallying cry. And then in the 1990s, as South Africa moved away from racial segregation in politics, what was known as apartheid, when they moved away from that and wrote a new constitution, the interim constitution of South Africa in 1993 reads this way: "There is a need for understanding, but not for vengeance. A need for reparation, but not for retaliation. A need for Ubuntu, but not victimization." So, what is Ubuntu? Well, that's what I'm talking about this morning. We are members of one another. Africans say it means something like this: I am because of you. Another definition from a Liberian: I am what I am because of who we all are. We find our very identity, our very meaning in our relations with one another in Christ, in fellowship in the body of Christ. Desmond Tutu said this about Ubuntu in an interview. He says, "Ubuntu speaks of the very essence of being human. We say, hey, so-and-so has Ubuntu. That means you are generous, you are hospitable, you are friendly, you are caring, you are compassionate. You share what you have. Ubuntu is to say my humanity is caught up, is inextricably bound up in your humanity. We belong in a bundle of life. We say a person is a person through other persons." And yes, I recognize that Ubuntu was a political idea for Tutu, and that it was appropriated and misappropriated by a number of causes in southern Africa. But at its core, its meaning is exactly what we read in those verses in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are what we are in the body of Christ because of one another. And so there's this story in southern Africa that goes like this. There was a boy who lived in a village. He was a young man, actually. One day, he became very frustrated with all the things that he didn't have. He became angry with his very existence. And so he broke into a neighbor's home and he stole some things and he committed some acts of violence. The next day, the village gathered together and the young man was brought before the entire town and made to sit down before everybody. And they sat there for some time in silence. And then an older woman arose and began to speak. And she called the young man by name and she said, "Jabari, I have known you all your life. I remember when you were a child and you would come to me and ask if you could help carry the water that I needed for cooking. You were very helpful. I have seen you give your bread to your younger brother when he was growing up." Jabari's uncle arose and said, "Jabari, I have known you all my life, all your life, I should say. When your father was ill, you walked many miles to get a doctor. You helped take care of your brothers and sisters so your mother could tend to him. You are a good son." One of Jabari's teachers rose up and said, "Jabari, I know you. I was your teacher for 3 years. Sometimes the work was very hard for you, but you did not give up. You are not someone who gives up. Another man rose and said, Jabari, I know you. You have been out in the forest many times with us to gather wood for our houses. The men gather, you come and do your part. This is who you really are. You are a man of this community. The story is meant to illustrate what Ubuntu is. What is it? It's something that defines me by who you are and who I am as part of you. It's something that defines you as a member of this community, as a member of this fellowship, as a member of this body. What it is what the Apostle Paul said. We are members one of another. That's what it is. What we're going to learn in the lesson this morning is that our very purpose in Christ is defined by our relationship and our love for one another. Let me start then by making this assertion that being members of one another binds us to certain behaviors and attitudes. Just as the village was trying to tell Jabari that you are bound to this community, the behaviors that you have shown in your life, the attitudes that you have shown in your life, those are the proper and right attitudes for a member of this community. And so it is in the body of Christ. Because we are members of one another, we are bound to certain behaviors and attitudes. Here is the way we act as a member of the body of Christ. Here is the way we think as a member of the body of Christ, because we are members of one another. And here's where the Bible says something like that, like Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, putting away all lying, let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor for, why? Why do I have to speak truth to my neighbor? For we are members of one another. That's why. Because we are part of the same body. And that binds me to this expectation of honesty and integrity and truthfulness when I deal with you. And the same back to me. And here's my expectation. When I deal with people in the world, most of the time I do not have an inkling whether they're telling me the truth or not. But when I'm dealing with a member of the body of Christ, because we are members of one another, I proceed in my life with the expectation and the assurance and the true belief that whatever that person in the body of Christ says to me is the truth. Because we are members of one another. Somebody who's not part of this community doesn't understand that standard. But we do. That we are honest. That we speak the truth. Because we are members of one another. We are like-minded and mutually accepting. Listen to Paul's words again in Romans 15, verse 5. He says, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Paul pleads in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That's part of the community. We think the same things. We believe the same things. We accept one another. If there are differences between us that don't have anything to do with what God expects of us, we accept one another. You know, your way you choose to comb your hair or the kind of foods you like or the entertainment that you like, if it's godly, all of that, it may not be my bag, but it's fine. and we accept one another. That's part of being in this fellowship, in this body, members of one another. But chiefly, we are bound to one another in love. In Colossians chapter 3, please look at that passage with me, starting in verse 14. Here, the inspired apostle says, above all these things, and he's talked about a lot of important things in the life of a Christian, but he says above all of them, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. It's the thing that holds us together completely. Love is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called. Look at it. To which also you were called in one body. You see it? You're members of one another. Therefore, you have the same love for one another. You're bound by that love in the body of Christ. The New Testament is absolutely replete with the command to love one another. And there are three words in the command, right? I'm counting. Love, one, another. Love. Love. Ultimate desire for the goodwill of another, no matter the cost. Love. One. You're one. You love another. Ultimate desire for their best, no matter what it costs you. How many times does the New Testament say that? Over a dozen times. Love one another. John chapter 13, in verse 34. I give you a command, Jesus says, that you love one another. John chapter 15 and verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another. John chapter 15 and verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Romans 13 and verse 8, owe no man anything except to love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9, let brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. You're taught by God to love one another. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, love one another fervently with a pure heart. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11. This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. 1 John 3:23. This is the commandment that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He gave us commandment. 1 John 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. 1 John 4 and verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. 1 John 4 and verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. 2 John verse 5. I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which you've heard from the beginning, that you love one another. Members of the body are who they are because they're members of the body. And implicit in that is that every member of the body loves every other member of the body. Do you see that? It is who I am. It is who you are. It defines you in the sight of God. We'll get back to that in a little bit. Our mutual reliance on one another reflects itself because every part of the body is essential, because every part of the body relies on every other part of the body. That reflects itself in the way we as members serve one another. So in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, Paul says, brethren, you've been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, in the body, you are loving yourself because we're all members of that one body. But through love, he says, serve one another. And the precise ways that we might serve one another. Some of them are delineated by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. Starting, he says, above all things, have fervent love for one another. Again, love for one another. That's a passage I didn't even mention in my long list of passages that say that. He says, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. And then he says in verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, let him minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, do it with the ability that God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified. And so we owe one another service. The service of hospitality, the service of ministry, the service of caring for one another. Because we're members of one another. We're part of the same body. The same is true in our singing. Think about it. Singing is a one another command, isn't it? It's something we do as members of the body for and to one another. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, Ephesians 5:19. In the body, this is something we do for one another. When it comes to submission, every part of my body is in submission to every other part of the body, if you think about it. Every part of the body serves every other part of the body, if you think about it. And so as I communicate, as I gesture with my hands, as I move my feet, as I think with my brain, everything's working. Things that are unseen to us, systems within us, supplying energy to our muscles and to our nerves, and on we go. Everything works together. And that is how it is in the body. Peter will say in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. So the body works together in submission. The body works together in sympathy. Every part of the body has sympathy for every other part of the body. Compassion, if you will. The words sympathy, compassion are interesting words. They both come from pretty much the same root out of the Greek language. The word is pathos, which we translate passion into English. Sympathy is passion with someone. You feel what they feel. Compassion, same thing. Passion or feeling with someone. So sympathy and compassion really are pretty much the same meaning. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, finally, all of you be of one mind. Well, yeah, because we're all members of one another. Having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. And back in 1 Corinthians 12, where we started, remember the verse in verse 26. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. One member is honored. All the members rejoice with it. In contemplation of these truths over the last several days, as I've been thinking about this concept and working on this lesson, I've had a different thought about this than I've ever thought before. I hope it's, and I believe it's true, and it's deeper than I've ever thought before. It's a bit of an epiphany, if you will. And it's this. Our lives only have meaning if God is in us. Can we agree with that premise? And God is only in us if we love one another. Because here's what the Bible says. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. If we love one another, God abides in us. And His love has been perfected in us. So, God abides in us if we love one another. If I'm a Christian, if God is in me, if He abides in me, and I really know Him, it's because of you. You understand that? And you only know Him because of me. Because when we love one another, that's when He abides in us. Our knowledge of God Himself, then, finds its expression in the body of Christ. When we talk about our theme being uniting to work and working to be united, what we're talking about ultimately is coming to know God. Having God truly in us. Having God define who we are by being members of the one body. This morning I may be talking to somebody who's not in the body of Christ. And I just want to tell you, if you're not in the body of Christ, if you don't have that relational sharing in the knowledge of God with other members in the body of Christ, you do not know God today. But He invites you to come and know Him. He invites you to come into the body the same way everybody in this room who's a part of the body of Christ, the same way everyone in this room got into the body of Christ, you may come into it as well. For Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, where we read, that we were all baptized into one body. If you haven't been baptized into that one body, you're not part of it today. And you can't really know God, not really, apart from that. So we're asking you to come and in one spirit be baptized into that one body while we stand and while we sing.